This is the chapel service for October 18th, 1961. Mr. Neil Payton is bringing our message.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And he hath put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord.
We have on our campus this morning some very distinguished visitors, and we wanted to recognize them just briefly at the chapel service. We have the annual meeting of our convention-wide alumni officers. The following men are present, and we would appreciate it if they would stand as I call their names. Mr. Paul Wonders, president, who is pastor of the Western Avenue Baptist Church in Statesville. Mr. William Palmer, who is pastor of the Edwards Road Baptist Church at Taylor, South Carolina, vice president. And then on our board of directors, Mr. Fred Duckett, First Baptist Church of South Hill, Virginia, and Bob Mullinax, who is at Cary, and he's also president of the North Carolina Alumni Chapter. And then the president of the Virginia Alumni Chapter, Andrew B. Cook, Jr., who is pastor of the Warsaw Baptist Church. We can't tell you how delighted we are to have you men here on the campus, and we certainly hope you enjoy your stay and your visit. Thank you very much.
For our scripture reading this morning, I would like to read for you from Mark in the 7th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse, the story of Jesus healing a deaf man. I'm going to read this with my voice, and also as the deaf would hear it, in parentheses, see it. And again, departing from the coast around Tyre and Sidon, Jesus came unto the sea that is named Galilee, through the middle of the area that is named Decapolis. And the people brought to Jesus a man that was deaf and could not speak. And they asked Jesus to put his hand upon the man's head and to make him speak again. And Jesus led the man apart from the multitude, and he put his fingers into the man's ears. And then Jesus spit and touched the man's tongue. And then Jesus looked up unto heaven, and he sighed, and he said unto the man, Ephatha, which means be open. And immediately the man's ears were opened, and his tongue was made free. And he spake plain again. And Jesus commanded the people that they should not tell anyone about this thing. But the more that Jesus commanded them, so much the more, a great deal more, the people announced it all around. And were beyond all measure astonished, saying, Jesus hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear again, and the people that can't speak to speak. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that through Jesus Christ, our spirits are made to hear again the wonderful news of God's love to us because Jesus died for us. And we pray that because we can hear, because Thou hast made us to hear, that we shall carry the news to every person, to every tongue and kindred and nation, explaining, exhorting, reproving, that those who are not concerned about their souls will become concerned and see the need of the new birth. We praise Thee for the love and the goodness Thou hast put in our heart. Those things that weren't there before have been created through the Spirit and through the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. God, we thank Thee for that. Open our eyes now, God, to the needs of the world around us, all of the needs, not just a few, especially the needs in our own backyard, in the area right around our immediate church, or field of service, yes, and even our homes. Open our ears, God, that we can hear the truth and the cries of the Macedonian calls that are saying, come on over here, please come over here. And open our heart that love might flow forth, love that has been put there by Jesus Christ. Guide us as we think together for the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is not the first reference that we have just read about the death, but this is one of the first references we have in the New Testament. I think our first reference about the death is in the fourth chapter of Exodus, where Moses is speaking to God, and God says, "Have not I made thee deaf and the dumb and the blind and the seeing?" In other words, haven't I made every person? They are all created by God, and they all are loved by God. The death have always been with us. The Bible shows us this. From the time of Moses up until now. And they'll be with us until the end of time, until Jesus comes again. But Southern Baptists haven't always realized this. You and I have not always realized this. I know I haven't, not until just recently. But we see now that we have the deaf people, and that they have a particular need that we must meet. The history of the Southern Baptist work began in the beginning of the century, when a deaf man went to the home board and asked if he could not be supported by the home board to become a missionary to the deaf. At first, the home board says no. They didn't see the need, that the deaf people need Jesus as much as we do. Oh, I think perhaps they saw the need, but they didn't see the responsibility that they had. Perhaps they thought the deaf were few and far between and not really warranting the cost that it might take. Whatever the reason, at first they did not put on this deaf person. But then later on, in 1907, they did hire Brother Michaels, a deaf person, to be the first missionary to the deaf. And he labored alone for 19 years, traveling around by train, stopping at little towns as he went, getting off, rounding up the deaf people, preaching to them about Jesus, and getting back on the train and going to the next town. 19 years later, in 1926, another man, A.O. Wilson, was put on by the home board as the second missionary to the deaf. And then in the early 30s, two more couples were put on. And then it seems that we went to sleep for some reason, because between the years 1935 and 1950, or thereabouts, were years that Southern Baptists seemed to go to sleep on the deaf. And many of the groups that Brother Michaels and Brother Wilson had started and the other two workers began to slide away. And Baptists did not feel the responsibility to stay with them. And so the Church of God and the Lutheran Church and the Catholic Church and the Episcopal Church and many other denominations had to take over, where we began to fail. Then in the 50s, we came alive again. And we began to realize that the deaf need Jesus, and that we can meet their needs, and that they are a people that love God and are hungry for God. And we began to put on more missionaries through the home board. Until now, we have 21 missionaries, I believe. Four have been added just recently to the 19 that we had before, or to the 17, rather, we had before, bringing the total to 21 missionaries on the home board. We have two states that have state missionaries to the deaf, North Carolina and Missouri. We have several other states that are looking forward to putting on state missionaries to the deaf. So you see, we're beginning to realize the needs of the deaf. We're beginning to meet the needs now. Now let's see something about these people, because unless we know the people, perhaps we do not really realize the needs. In North Carolina, we have 5,000 or more people who are totally deaf. In other words, they have to rely upon the sign language for their communication. In the Southern Baptist Convention, we have somewhere between 150,000 to 200,000. These are a lot of people. They are people that are different from you and I. They are people that are separate from this world that we know, this world of sound and expression and communication, which is so fluent. These people are not dumb. Don't call them deaf and dumb, because they're not dumb. They are dumb in the sense that they cannot speak, but they are not dumb in the sense that they cannot understand and are not intelligent. They are just as intelligent as you and I are, but they have not the privilege that you and I have. Let's think about them now from the time they're born. A deaf child born into a home. He never hears the mother speak words of love to him. He never hears his brother or sister speak to him, laugh and play together. They never hear the little dog bark. I never hear the noon whistle or the airplane going overhead. They never hear television or the radio. All of these things that we take for granted, they cannot hear. And so they begin at this early age to be separated or shut off from the normal fellowship that you and I enjoy. This is the beginning of a psychological barrier in their mind, a barrier which is much greater than a physical handicap. As the children grow up, they're not able to learn to speak like you and I are. In the first place, they don't realize they have a voice because they cannot hear. And if they cannot hear, they cannot even hear their own selves speaking. They do not realize they have a voice. Well, this multiplies as a child grows older because we build up our vocabularies by hearing people talk. We hear words used in so many different ways. We hear our mothers use the word. We hear it used at the grocery store, on the radio, on television, at school, at work, at play. Until a word has a lot of meanings and used in different senses, it has an expression to us that cannot come from a word that the same word with just one meaning. Our English language is full of words that are like this. I heard a very good illustration on the radio the other morning. The announcer was advertising the fair, and he said that the weather was going to be nice, and so he said, it's going to be fair weather for the fair. Then as an afterthought, he said, fair weather for the fair, that's fair enough. Well, there's that same word, fair, used three different ways. Well, now, unless you'd heard that word used in those different ways, it doesn't mean much. And the sign language is a picture language. It's a language which expresses in pictures the word or the meaning of an idea. Our words express ideas and thoughts in various mannerisms and ways. But a picture shows one thing. This is the house in sign language. Jesus is made like this, showing the nail prints in the palms of the hand. Heaven. You see something that's glorious and up here and spreads out over the whole heaven. God, someone that is above us, someone to be bowed to. Boy, as if you are grasping the brim of a cap. Girl, as if you are tracing the bonnet strings on the cheek. Water is made with a W on the lips, as if you were drinking water. And the sea is water flowing out here like this. This is a picture language. And when you take a picture language and try to express an intangible, you come into a problem of communication. The deaf language is so concrete in its expression that our idiomatic sayings and our mannerisms of speech do not carry over into the deaf world. And as a result, we have the problem of communicating the gospel. For instance, a little boy had saved up his money at the deaf school to send his little sister a birthday present. And he sent her the present, and the mother replied with a thank you note. The boy opened the note and he began to read, and suddenly he burst out crying, as if his little heart was broken to pieces. And the counselor asked him, well, why are you crying? And after quite a while, she finally got him calmed down, and he couldn't speak and couldn't sign. He was so broken up, so he showed her the letter. And in the letter, there was a sentence there that said that your sister was tickled to death to receive your present. He thought his little sister had actually died. She had been tickled to death. Well, these are expressions that you and I use that they're just normal, but they do not carry across into the picture language. A deaf man thought that the president was deaf in one ear because he read in the paper that the president had turned a deaf ear to the pleas of Congress. All of these are concrete expressions of the problem that we get into in taking the intangible of the Bible and putting it into the world of the deaf. And this is the problem that we have in the deaf world. They can get jobs and work. They can have families and children. They can have the fellowship among themselves. But when it comes to church, they can't go to church because they can't hear. 5,000 deaf in North Carolina. We have about 20 to 25 deaf groups, average about 20 apiece. Maybe we're ministering to 400 to 500 out of 5,000. Other denominations are working also, but they're not reaching many more than this. And if Jerry is a state worker, I am his associate, if we could get around to every group once a month, which should be the maximum that we could do, we could only be to each group for 45 minutes once a month. This is not enough to teach anyone about Jesus Christ and about growth in the Christian life. It's not enough to teach you or me about this thing. And to a person that has no background in the Bible, It's not even a drop in the bucket. These people haven't been able to go to Sunday school like we have. They haven't been able to go to church. And if you ask them about the story of David and Goliath, perhaps they wouldn't even know who Goliath was. Perhaps not even David. If you ask them the story of Jesus and the miracles that he performed, the wedding feast at Cana, the healing of many of the different people that he healed, perhaps they would not even know about this thing. Because they cannot have the privilege that you and I have of going to Sunday school and church. I witnessed to a deaf couple in Birmingham, Alabama, while I was at Howard College. And I went into the home to win them to Jesus. They were a young couple, about 25. And they had showed an interest in becoming Christians. And so I spoke to them about accepting Jesus. And I thought I had presented the plan of salvation very simply. They listened very intently. Then I asked, would you now like to have your sins forgiven? Do you want to know Jesus now as your Savior and that you have become a Christian? Will you accept Christ? And there was a blank look on their face. And the husband looked at the wife, and the wife looked at the husband and maintained this blank look. And so I asked, well, is there some question? Perhaps I haven't made it too plain. Something that's bothering you. And again, the exchange of looks, the blank expression on the face. Finally, the wife says, what do you mean by this word, G-R-A-C-E? Well, I shouldn't have used grace. I realize that now. I made a mistake. But while I was trying to think how I can explain the word grace so that they could understand it and get the idea, she asked me another question. She says, what do you mean by this word, H-E-L-L? What is hell? It was like a slap in the face. And so we went back to the Garden of Eden, the creation of man. And the first sin, the reason for a place called hell, what it was. But the thing is, they hadn't the background enough to know, really, what hell was, or what heaven was, for that matter. Many, many deaf are like this. Perhaps not this far not to know what hell is, but far enough not to know the basics of salvation. And they are all around us. The Bible teaches us in Romans, in the 10th chapter, and we've read this so many times. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, a lot of you are preachers. We are all to be preachers. We are all to have within us always the gospel of Jesus Christ because Jesus has saved us. And then Jesus commands us this thing. The harvest truly is great. The laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, and he shall send forth laborers into his harvest. This is a command. He says, pray the Lord of harvest, and he will send laborers. And he will. We need laborers here in North Carolina. We need laborers all over the United States in the work with the deaf. Those that are missionaries can only minister to the groups a little bit here and there. But you that are on the local field have the real responsibility, because these people are in your backyards. These people need Jesus just as much as the speaking people on your field. Let me tell you of something that has happened here. We have a sign language class, and last semester was the first period that we had it. A boy named Dan Page was taking the class, and after the first or second lesson, he went home to his church field, and he went to the home of a deaf person that has been having a Sunday school class in his own home. And he knocked on the door or pushed the button. I'm not certain how he called the man to the door. The deaf man came to the door and opened it up, and Dan immediately began to sign the few signs that he had learned already. And he says, happy to see you. And he said that deaf man just lit up all over, grabbed him with both arms and hugged him and pushed him away and began signing just as fast as he could sign. Just thrilled to death. And Dan says, whoa, wait a minute. He got out his pencil and paper and said, I don't know that many signs yet. But the deaf man wrote back. He says, now you're learning the sign language. And now we can come to your church and have a room in your church for our Sunday school and hear about Jesus. You can preach to us. This is the hunger of the deaf all over North Carolina, all over the South. Show a little bit of interest in a deaf person, and his heart is warmed and filled with love for you. They appreciate it, and they're hungry for the news of Christ. I got a card from a deaf lady in Georgia, and she wrote to me and she says, "We don't have a preacher here anymore. Won't you come back and preach to us?" I've gotten cards from many deaf people and around the state and in other states where I have been, writing, "Where can we find someone to preach to us?" Many of the deaf people drive as far as 25 to 35 miles to be at a service for the deaf because they don't have a local church in their own area. They want to know about Jesus. And we have the responsibility to learn the language if we can. And if we can't do that, then to find someone that knows their language, that can carry the news to them about Jesus Christ. They are hungry. They need the gospel. And you and I can hear and we can speak. And we can carry to them the news about Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee that we can speak, that we can hear. And we do understand our need. And we see even more now the needs of these people who cannot hear, but who want Jesus. We thank thee for the privilege that we can meet their needs, because thou art able to give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the strength to learn their language and to meet the situations as we see them among these people. Forgive us for being negligent if we have known. Forgive us for not knowing if we have not searched to find out. But give us from henceforth the grace to meet the needs of all people, no matter how few they may be, that are in our own backyards, that need the message of Christ, because thou hast sent us to all the world to preach the name of Jesus among all people and kindreds and tongues. Thank thee for this responsibility, for we pray in Jesus' precious holy name.